There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
How's it guys? We're at the home of the world champion, South Africa. We have left front. We're here at the Cape Town Sevens for another episode of the Box Office. We've got three World Cup winners. Damian Willemse has just done the double. Brian Abana, the top try scorer. And another one is right next to me, Sean de Villiers.
Thank you very much, Shimmy. And as you are experiencing now here at the Cape Town Sevens, Table Mountain, the beautiful sea, the beautiful DHL Stadium. And for you, the Box Office is now... open!
We're back here at the Cape Town Sevens. Like I mentioned earlier on, we've got three World Cup winners. But we'll start with Brian Abana. Brian, you're pretty relieved. Since the World Cup, no one broke your record. Will Jordan was in the mix. Damien Pinot. But actually, let's talk about the corporate train. How rich are you feeling now? But that wallet must be full.
What colors? It's not gold like John's at. Yeah, there's a bit of offshore funds, Shimmy. Obviously, might have to do a FIA application to get some back into South Africa. Euros, pounds, sterling, dollars, always good to have. But for me, it was really just about the enjoyment that I got to spend with my
you
friends.
You look happy, though.
Shimmy, I mean, I didn't even charge you rent for when you stayed at my place. You know, that's how well it went. So what a two-month period.
Okay, let's talk about this. Okay, it's popping up quite a lot, the fact that I stayed in your apartment, which it was...
rent-free. Rent-free.
Rent-free?
Yeah, yeah.
How long does it carry on for? Till the next World Cup?
Well, till you...
How do I pay back the debt?
Well, till you need to just reciprocate. So you don't know. It's been a month and a half. You haven't even offered a bribe... a beer, nothing.
Like, okay, I'll organize
Brian,
it. Hold
Brian,
on, John.
Let me just
John,
get no, John, in here. I will come in here because he only spent two nights with you in your apartment, right? Mm-hmm. Was it two nights? Four nights. Okay, four nights rent free. I spent 6 weeks with him. He did not pay for one dinner, not one drink. And certainly not for one Uber. And please do tell them why you're still banned from Uber.
Okay, no, we'll get to that. By the way, guys, we've got a guy that's struggling at the moment. Yeah. He's 20. Damien, how old are you? 24, 25?
25, yeah.
Two World Cups. Life is tough. He's got a gold watch, guys.
By the way, he's got
his Red Bull sponsor. Life's tough there.
Gold sunglasses.
But Damien, let's talk about the tattoo. Was that painful?
Was it painful?
You got two, obviously, the 2019-23.
Yeah.
On your booty.
Yeah, my booty. I don't know, I'm sure. I was there, but I wasn't there because I was quite drunk, hey? I'm not going to lie. And the thing is, I promised my grandma before she passed away, grandma, there's two things I won't do. I'll never do in my life. I won't get a tattoo. I'm not going to gamble. And I did both.
Did you tell her you're going to win two World Cups, though?
Have you?
John, no, let's talk about it. Hold on, John. Jack Grealish, who inspired the kit? Jack Grealish or Achiever Damani? This is an important question.
Actually,
that's... You didn't shower for... Well, you showered.
I showered,
you had the kit, though, for a couple of days. Or a long time.
Yeah, the first time I saw, you know, someone wear that was with Alex Good.
When Saracens
won the Gallagher or the Premiership
Champions Cup.
That's the first time I saw it, and then obviously Achiever was my teammate, and then obviously Jack Reelis was recently. I just felt like I want to stay with my kid. There wasn't really something behind it.
It's cool.
John, your turn. Grinch. No. John, sorry. So I want to introduce you. By the way, he kept interrupting me. Guys, John de Villiers in the house.
Thank you.
Sevens
specialist.
Sevens. No, not specialist.
You went Commonwealth Games.
Commonwealth Games, you got bronze. Tell us about the Fijian team. Actually, you told us the other day.
Can I just ask Damien the question first?
Okay, I'll give you.
I want to know that obviously he's got the two tattoos now on your booty. Mm. Do you have to share your booty more recently or not?
Share it.
Do you have to show it more?
No.
No. Okay, no, it's just random.
Damn it, the celebrations. What was that like? I mean, Japan, I think, was it Skull Brits that was giving everyone sleeping pills or something after Japan? or painkiller, whatever it was.
Yeah.
Now you look... Do you have some insight there, bro? What happened? What happened in Japan after the celebrations there?
With you or...
No. Look, I'll tell you about my celebrations.
I was with you celebrating, remember?
Yeah.
Went to the local pub. Our local. You can't remember that one, right?
No, I remember that. The one down the road in Roppongi.
Where you fell asleep. No, in Roppongi, where you fell asleep.
Jet lag.
No. Sorry, remember, you'd been in Japan for how long? For 2 months, right? Jet lag and the final week.
I felt like I jet lagged when I came back from Japan. Damien, sorry, France, the celebrations. Talk us through that. How good was that?
Yeah, that was wild. It was epic. Obviously, final whistle blew. And I think it took about half an hour, 45 minutes for us to finish all the beers that was in the change room. And I think someone went and got some of the New Zealand's beers. I think Charles or Zin went over to their change room and got some beers because we literally finished it all. And then we got back to the hotel and, you know, the boys just kept going till early morning and till World Rugby Awards. And then obviously we came back home, Dubai, Joburg, and it didn't stop, literally. We had so much brandy. I think it's Eben's birthday as well, and yeah. he brought over one of those big brandies. I think his brother brought it with. So we literally, we had a lot of brandies, and it was epic.
But Damon, is it very, and I mean, Brian, you can probably come in here because like in 07, I mean, obviously I didn't play in the final, yeah. And, you know, I was there, part of the celebrations, all of that, but it's kind of... You know, I think we experienced it back then. You work towards something, then eventually you get there. And the same for you guys. Obviously, you experienced it in 2019, and now you experienced it again. But it's such a it's relief more than anything else. Yeah. You know, you talk about the celebrations and all of that, but you guys were on quite a not a strict alcohol ban or anything like that. But you guys were holding back on the drinks to be able to achieve something that's not been achieved before, and now. You win it, you get into it, and it's kind of just exhale and just take the load off a bit more than just wanting to drink
the load off. Jeebus, they took a lot off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But was that the feeling?
Yeah, exactly. I think obviously for us, like, we knew that there was going to be sacrifices to be made. And, you know, obviously alcohol was one of the things that we said we were going to give up. And, yeah, I think obviously it was beautiful celebrations and, you know, everyone enjoyed it. And, yeah, it was epic celebrations, as I said. I think for us, obviously, you know, getting to that moment after the final like that, it's intense. And I think everyone, as you said, was just really relieved and, you know, it was...
They were just relieved.
Relieved, very relieved. Just quickly, I just flash back to 2007, the flight back from Paris to South Africa. It was debaucherous. I think there was a few things left inside our flight. Yeah. Not physical things, more liquid type stuff that had been inside certain things. How bad was that flight over?
Yeah, our flight was actually not that bad. I thought the boys were, you know, going to be celebrating more than they did, but everyone was quite calm.
Did you sleep? Did you sleep?
I slept, yeah. Okay. I got some rest.
Boring.
That's boring. Jesus, damn it. I'm disappointed.
How did you not sleep? I'm disappointed.
Sam, the thing is, like, we weren't flying in the A330, yeah. 80. We were flying in a quite small aircraft.
Yeah, so chartered flight. No, it's fine.
Ryan had an 8030 by himself, by the way, on the way to Paris and back, France and back.
Yeah. About my stories, yeah. It's a quiet one. That's interesting.
Yeah, it was quiet, but we went hard on Dubai airport. Okay.
You went via
Dubai.
Went via Dubai.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah, but the boys bathed themselves.
It's, and I did you clear out the Emirates lounge at Dubai Airport as
yes,
well?
Yes.
I love it.
Guys, keep on. We at the Sevens.
Can we take the hat? Can I take my jersey off? It's very
no,
warm,
no, no, no. Keep the jersey on. No, I love the hat, though.
I don't need to lose weight.
We'll the Grinch.
No,
guys, quick one.
Please
get that. Okay, just a quick exercise, Damon. Let's pick a Sevens team with Springboks in at the moment. Current Springboks.
Current Springboks.
Okay.
Including our current Blitzbox or just?
Just from the 33-man
squad.
33-man squad.
That's a good one.
You're definitely going to go.
No, so you start
the forward. Start the forward.
I'll go Kane and Moody.
As a forward?
Yeah. And Quagga Smith.
As a hooker?
Yes.
Yep.
And then I will go...
Geoffrey.
Oh, I mean, yeah, it was a phenomenal story, right? But you're putting Branas now. I wouldn't be able
to. I love Damien at centre.
No, Damien at
centre. Yesterday's another stud.
Can you scrum?
Yeah.
That's a great shot.
Can you scrum, Damien?
No, you don't want him in the scrum.
No, you don't want him in the scrum. But on a serious note, would Malcolm Marks be able to do sevens? I reckon Moose would be able to go. He'd be a...
Because he's a Kays guy.
No, because he's an incredible rugby player.
Okay, I'm asking. Okay,
any Bosch? I remember any Bosch guys in this?
Not
would, we just I don't think
he was right.
He won't make it.
Guys, who do you put? Who?
I don't think Mel can make it.
Surely John Free. I'm trying to think. Peter Steph.
I'm going to take this off.
Jeez,
Peter Steph. It's so tough. Shot, right?
that's
but also, if you have so I'll have Damien, and we're going to ask him now whether he's keen on maybe playing in the Olympics next year. Kurt Lee.
Definitely.
Yeah. Cheslin.
Kanan's definitely.
Kanan.
Grant Williams.
Grant Williams.
100%. Yeah.
100% Grant Williams.
Grant Williams, sweeper.
Sweeper.
And who's the other prop there?
Andre Essay is a great shot.
Guys, after what he did in the Rugby World Cup, I reckon it's not a bad shot to get Frans Malherbe in there just to
Sean, your share price has just climbed.
Yeah,
I love you for saying that.
Just to kill us that right shoulder. I think it's quality.
Sean, you played sevens. Yeah. Brian, your sevens career. Let's talk about it.
No, let's not talk about sevens.
No, let's talk about your sevens career.
David, you play sevens?
High school, but I didn't play national team.
Played junior Commonwealth games. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Junior Commonwealth games.
Brian, your sevens career, let's talk about it. 12 years between caps.
No. Should we get this? That,
but you're busy. You're busy. You know, try scoring records in between.
100%. So, yeah.
I have to take my jersey.
Okay, 100%. Okay, get ready for the monologue now. Okay, let's go.
Okay, here we go. So, made my sevens debut in Wellington 2004. Had a full 7 minutes. Kicked the ball against Tonga. Paul True whipped me off the field. Daniel Demas literally went through his hands. Sat out for the rest of the tournament. Only 7 minutes in Wellington, which was a phenomenal. Like, it was one of the best stops on the tour. Then went to Los Angeles, first ever time in the States. Yeah, wasn't getting much ball or play. Then was on the bench against
Europe
in sevens. Yeah,
I could not get the ball in sevens.
I wasn't in on the team sheet.
Oh, okay,
I was sitting in the stands.
I know what that feels like, don't worry.
thanks, Ollie. Thanks, Ollie. And then, yeah, my first action coming onto the field as a replacement against Uruguay was to kick off, kick directly into touch. From that ensuing free kick, high tackle, yellow card. No, it was my 10 minutes of sevens done in 2004.
Olympic selection now. Obviously, you are gunning for that. Sorry, man.
I'm
breaking
it. I thought we were building it.
Hold on.
You've changed so much.
We've got to
be vulnerable
amongst each other, guys.
I can't take you seriously with your
Okay, yeah. And then you obviously wanted to go to the Olympics.
I honestly, what
did it mean to you to get to the Olympics as a sevens player?
So when Rusty and Neil Rusty phoned me for the Commonwealth Games in 2014, which I unfortunately couldn't contractually do. And then Neil said, listen.
Because Toulon,
Murad Bujalal.
Yeah.
He said, no, thank you.
And then break the bank.
Well, sorry, we'd have to break the bank out to get me back. And then I tried my best to make 2016, got included in the squad, came back for the Vegas and Vancouver tournaments, which were absolutely brilliant. And I actually really enjoyed it myself. Quade Cooper, Sonny Bill Williams, Liam Messam had all sort of moved over from the 15s. Then, I mean, I love records. My records in the sevens are that I am the player who took the longest between playing their first sevens tournament and registering their first try.
Congrats.
12
well
years
done.
Later.
No, well done.
Damien, any thoughts of maybe going back to France as a potential Olympian?
Yeah, I mean, it's always on the cards. I would love to, obviously.
DuPont's doing it. Michael Hooper's doing it.
Yeah.
There's someone else. But yeah.
You also need training, I think, as Brian said. Like, you need to spend some time, you know, on the field, training with the guys. This is a different sport, as is still John as well. Because what these guys are doing, it's crazy. It's epic. And, yeah, I think it's definitely something that every rugby player and kid dreams of. It's competing in the World Cup or the Olympics. And, obviously, to get a medal will be the cherry on the cake.
I think, like, if you take his skill set, what he's displayed in the 15s game, you know, obviously, having played fly off, centre, fullback, with ball in with
against Italy.
With ball in hand, exceptional, but defensively so solid as well. And that's the thing about sevens rugby; it's 1-on-1.
Yeah,
you need to make your tackles 1-on-1, and you need to have the ability to beat the opposition 1-on-1. But then also rucking is also so important. Yeah. But if you look, I mean, the way that Disak steps, his ability to beat players 1-on-1 is just exceptional. But then also defensively so solid. I mean, the hits we've seen today,
it's ridiculous.
And that's what I enjoy from Damien. And we're not going to ask him the question, but he probably prefers playing at 15.
No, I've got a great question.
I want him at 12.
I'll ask all three of you. So, Jean, you were a schoolboy prodigy. So were you.
No, not really.
You were destined. I remember Jake White saying, whatever happens, Jean de Villiers has got to be in the team.
Okay.
You played wing, you played centre, you've covered fullbacks. You haven't played centre for the box yet. You've covered wing, you've covered utility. Brian, you started off at centre. You got moved to wing.
Was a scrum off.
And you were a scrum off.
Jeez.
Now, how do you choose? Now, I'll ask you. The forwards know what they want.
You look very good with that.
For the three of you guys, how do you choose what your favorite position is? Because, Brian, was scrum off your favorite position, or did you see yourself playing wing for the Springboks? Damien, you know, you center at the moment for the Stormers, fullback for the box, and you've covered fly off as a 19-year-old. John, you played everywhere. Center, you were the intercept king at wing, so were you. So how do you guys know?
Okay,
so I'm getting quite long-winded with this question.
Yeah, no.
How do you know which one is your best position? What is your best position?
I mean, probably the position you've played in the most.
Well, Brian scored quite a number of tries on the wing, so I'm very happy to say that I think Brian's best position is wing.
So can I also speak
for himself?
I will concur that my best position is wing. The fact that I only played one test match at centre against Ireland against 2006.
How did that go?
Oh, wow. I scored a try.
What a celebration of the 100-year history of South Africa.
What a celebration. But I can actually thank Jean, because honestly, and I say this with the utmost respect, as a centre, I don't think I would have played as many test matches for South Africa. And given the fact that we had Maurice Joubert, David Barry, Jean, Jacques Ferry. So I probably wouldn't know. So when Jean was playing on the wing for the box in 04, and both him and Brayton got injured at the same time, I was actually covering centre that day.
The England game.
2004. Yeah, we were getting around cold. And literally from that game on, I'd been contracted to the Bulls to play centre, but post that, I never looked back. Yeah. So I never played more than one game at centre for.
So you're grateful for my injuries. Yeah. Thank you very much.
Damien,
I want to share on that. So that game, he makes his debut in 2004. We play the whole game, okay, against World Cup winning England. Strong team.
I hardly do
anything playing on the left wing. He comes on, replaces me. First time he catches the ball, or first time he gets the ball, scores a try. 70-meter try.
Well, thanks to Jacob.
A cold Twickenham against a very good England team. I can remember that. Damien, you?
I kind of knew back then.
I'll get to it. So there's obviously the fly-off debate, Lubok versus Pollard, that was going on. And you were sort of there in terms of 10. But you've covered most positions outside of that.
Yeah.
Come 3-4 years' time, where do you see yourself?
Probably fullback.
You like that?
I enjoy fullback. I mean, as you said, like, I've played under 19 until first year of professional rugby, fly off, and then obviously recently I've been playing a bit more centre. But yeah, I think it's obviously a role that I've been doing with the Springboks, especially with Coach Shark and Coach Rossi wanting me to fulfill that role, almost like Frans Steen did for us in 2019. And it's been something that I've been enjoying, especially like learning new skill sets and working on my game in different areas. I think it's made me a better player and more all-round player. So when I do have to play on different places on the field, you know, I can execute a certain skill set. So yeah, I think it's something that I've really been enjoying over the past few years. And yeah, as I said, it's making me a better player.
Do you enjoy the space at 15? Because, I mean, to me, watching from the side, you're flipping good in being in the face of the defense and then being able to manipulate, step and beat them and get the offloads going. Whereas, so instinctively, when you're on that defensive line, I think you're incredible. Whereas when you're at fullback, sometimes you have more time on the ball. You actually need to think about it, what your decision is going to be, and then execute on it. Yeah. Do you feel the difference between the two? Do you feel more comfortable with the one or the other?
Yeah, or not, I think, really? Obviously.
Or you're just so good that at the age of 25, you've won 2 World Cups.
You just have to be in the team.
It doesn't matter. I don't care. I'll just do anything.
I'm enjoying the space at the back. Okay. Obviously, when you are playing fly off, you do spend a lot more time in the backfield. But for me, just the game plan we play with the Springboks, even with the Stormers as well, you know, the coaches allow me to kind of play my game and, you know, make decisions on the run. And as you said, John, like, especially when I do get to defenses and I can try and manipulate them or put the ball in space, whether it's with the kick
or call that.
Yeah, exactly. What was this? Talk us through this.
Yeah, that was a plan, obviously, a strategic plan that the coaching staff and...
Were the forwards happy with you though?
Yeah, I think the biggest or the thing that made it work was obviously, like, I think the flow of the game, the time of the game, and, you know, the moment when it happened, like, no one was expecting it, because even the forwards, they didn't know when we were going to call it. We said we're going to have like a time in the game where our forwards were still fresh. Probably we had the upper hand, or we needed a big play. So yeah, I think obviously the play was called, I think, at the right time, and then obviously the forwards, you know, they did their thing and got us the penalty.
What point, as that ball was coming, right, you knew the pressure, the tension within that moment, at what point when you sort of got that ball in the air coming towards you, did you say, they said to us at some point in the game, we now need to call a ruck? The confidence level, was it sort of as the ball got kicked, or was it sort of as you received it?
Brian,
you looked up.
The walk also. He sort of called it. He's like, psh, I got this, and walked away.
I'm man.
Sort of, he dropped the ball and
I just
away.
Did that.
It's gone.
I just did that.
No. At what point? So when the kick went, right? Were you thinking about, okay, let me catch it, and then immediately, or as you caught it, you say?
Yeah. So I think they had a scrum, and then obviously they played the ball to Louis Bell, and then he kind of just caught the ball and just whacked it. And then the ball was coming and I saw it and I was like, okay, now. And then when I caught the ball, I was like, I don't know. I was just like,
just do it.
Yeah, just do it. And then I was like, okay, is this the right time, you know? Yeah. Like, am I making a mistake here by calling it now? But as I said, like, I could also feel the flow of the game there, and it was on my mind, and we've been training it all week. And as I said, it's been a strategic plan from the coaches. And yeah, I mean,
did you like walk off with a bit more swagger? Did you feel like?
You did? Yeah, you definitely did. No, you didn't.
What did the forward say to you? Because you can imagine. This guy calls a scrum. The forwards must be saying, what the?
Yeah, the thing is, so when I caught the ball and I put it down, and then I was looking at them, and I saw Franz and everyone. So they were jogging back, and then I called the scrum, and then the ref was like, he was just nodding at me like that, like, are you sure? And I said, yeah. Called the scrum, walked, and then I was just like, okay, please, dear God, like, let's just.
But John, let's get the result here. How many times have I?
I've never seen it.
We're in the commentary box.
He's the first ever.
To do it.
Brian took 12 years to score a try for the Sevens. You're the first one to ever score.
I remember when that happened. Me and Justin Marshall and commentary looked at each other.
No, dude.
And Marshall was like, there must be a rule we're missing here.
But also, I had
no idea you could do that.
If you think of the strategy of the game and also where they were at and the game itself being very much possession based, you know, when the team gets the ball, they score points, kind of thing. So it was the ebb and flow of that. So if you then take into account, okay, he could have caught the ball, call for the mark, kick it out, kick it long even, but it's their line out in their half and they probably get back and they get into the opposition half. When now you're backing your scrum, you're hoping that we can get dominance, we can get the penalty, and now suddenly we kick it out in their half and it's our line out. So the opportunity to score points is so much better, and kind of that's how it happens. So from a strategic point of view, to do that, you know, and it was probably, you know, with all due respect, it was probably a bit of, okay, I'm gonna do it and hoping for the best, but it worked perfectly to a T again.
100%.
You know, so I mean, respect for the coaching incredible. Team, for the players being able to implement, and for the rest of the team to execute on it and make it work. Because if we conceded a penalty.
It's your scrum time.
We probably would have had someone else today.
Damon, the coaching team now. Obviously, a lot of genius involved in that. I mean, innovation. Rugby's been around for over 200 years. What do they bring to the party? What have you picked up in terms of not just Rassie and Jacques, but the whole setup as a whole?
Yeah. I think obviously they're incredibly hard workers. They study the game and they come up with great plans. And you know, they bring it to us on Monday or Sunday. They'll post the stuff on Huddle and you know ask us to give input and feedback. And you know, it's kind of like we're in the classroom and everyone you know has an opportunity to you know. Say whatever they want to say or come up with a plan, and together we'll come out on a plan, you know. So yeah, it's a very hardworking coaching staff, and as I said, like Coach Felix, you know, they're just so open to any discussion. And yeah, as I said, we all come up with a plan and make sure that we, you know, whatever we're going to do on the weekend is going to win the game for us for South Africa. So yeah.
But you guys had lights, you had flipping. It's the innovation. Did you find any of it weird there?
Yeah, I mean,
like even John, you guys can come in. Brian, have you ever been in a coaching setup where you think, okay, not weird, obviously it sounds innovative, but something you like, shucks, I never thought this, or I never thought we'd do things in a certain way?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, they are definitely out of the box, but it's like, geez, where, how? And it's like, I know, obviously, with Coach Rassie and them, they did that with the Cheetahs, like, way back. But then to bring it, like, 20 years after, and, you know, it's still successful, it's insane just to think.
But,
like,
but I think it's not just that, right? So we talk about innovation, but it's also a form of manipulation.
Yeah.
So all of a sudden you have light, and now all of a sudden the coaching staff in the opposition
team,
I think, okay, they saw a red light for this.
What are they doing?
What are they doing? How are they doing? So you're almost putting a little bit of doubt in the opposition. So it's not just about the innovation, it's about how do you manipulate your strengths and weaknesses, and in so doing, give your team a stronger platform of which to perform, which I think is absolutely brilliant. And again, there's maybe some stuff that, you know, Rassie did that maybe we don't all agree with, how he initially spoke to the referees, but then how he turned things around with the referees, and where maybe some decisions went for us in those knockout stages that potentially wouldn't have gone for us 2 years ago. So we talk about innovation, but we talk about using strategically your strengths and weaknesses, and where Rassie is incredibly good. You know, Damon talks about being an astute thinker of the game. Yeah. His effort behind the scenes is mind-blowingly.
But we mentioned it, I think, one of the first podcasts. Everyone talks about South Africa being physical, X, Y, Z. But did that underestimate us in terms of being South Africa ahead of the game and smarter than everyone else? Because the 7-1 split, you look at the lights on the roof, the motivation. Did people maybe underestimate us in terms of intelligence and strategy going into a game, which you've just basically spoken about?
I think it's, you know, we speak about innovation being, having lights in the coach's box. Giving,
which you did 20 years ago.
Giving a message to the players on the field and just not using audio to give a message across. So, you know, you speak for that as being innovative. And it's not really. I think what they get right is the fact that they just don't accept the status quo.
Yeah.
And they're saying, this is what we have. These are the parameters that you need to function within to be able to get a result as a rugby team. But we're going to challenge it constantly. Yeah. We're going to stay within this framework, but we're going to challenge it constantly. And if a reserve bench needs to be 5-3, we're going to challenge that and say, well,
ask the right questions,
you know, what is best for us? What do we have? And how can we use that, the framework that we have, to the best of our ability? And if that is putting more forwards on the bench, then we do that. So, you know, It's innovative, but it's also so basic. It's just accepting that, okay, we're going to challenge constantly. And by doing that and then getting the buy-in from the whole team, I think that's where they get it right.
Damien, you've got two World Cups. You realize that you could, you got the potential. Now, I don't want to touch wood, yeah, but you've got the potential to be the first player to reach three World Cups. Have you thought about that? John Furrier said he's playing till 42. To get to two.
I actually made a joke with
him. Yeah, have you thought about that, though?
Not really. I mean, obviously.
Still a long way away. Yeah, enjoy the moment.
I just need to stay fit and healthy and, you know, hope I get to the next one.
I think we all have dreams and, I mean, for most of us on this side that are not young plugs, we saw...
We're still young, Brian.
No. We saw 95 and we started dreaming. You know, you guys might have watched 2007. You actually weren't even initially in Japan, right?
No.
And all of a sudden, 4 years later, you're sitting with two... In your wildest dreams, given your background, given where you've come from, like 4 years later, can you explain to the people how wild those dreams are, but how incredible the feeling is that those wild dreams have been achieved?
Yeah, I mean, everything is, as you said, Brian, like coming where I come from, background, opportunities that I got. I think obviously for me personally, I think it's been a wild journey. It's been something that I won't want to swap or even want to give back for anything, you know, through the highs and the lows. I think even like 2 years ago, like when I was going through a massive dip in my game and trying to get things right, and to get to where I am now, and as I said, like Coach Rossi and Coach Jacques and them just backing me to play three positions, and as you said, picking seven forwards, and then I'm the utility back, so if someone falls, then I have to recover. But yeah, I think just, you know, it's been a great journey, and you know, something I'm really grateful for. And you know, I can just thank the people around me who's helped me, and you know, get to where I am today.
Can I go a little bit deeper even? So I read a thing the other day, and it's like a guy, a motivational speaker and whatever, and he talks about any person in life to achieve something, you just need one person to believe in you.
Yeah.
Okay. So whatever you are taking on, if you down in the dumps. Thank you very much.
I believe.
I believe. I believe.
I believe. You're two people that believe in
but like, so, you know, if you're there down in the dumps, if adversity strikes and you lying there and there's no one that helps you up or just tells you that it's possible to get up, then, you know, sometimes you'd never make it up. In your career, because also, and that to me really is the phenomenal story about this Springbok team, is that yes, we hear CR stories so many times, and that is an
there's a lot of stories,
incredible story, but there are so many.
There's a lot of stories
and,
in that team.
And for you, it's kind of the same as well. You know, you got opportunities and whatever. If you had to, and it's maybe an unfair question, but is there someone that kind of provided an opportunity, or that was that person for you? You know, maybe in your family or outside, or not really?
Yeah, definitely. There was a lot of people, and I don't want to mention names, but obviously.
Can I mention a name? Can we talk about your mother, Charlotte?
Yeah, we can.
And what she does in terms of the kids,
yeah.
Feeding the kids in need at your house and all of that. We saw when you went home.
Yeah.
You know, I saw the picture with you and your mom there,
yeah.
Giving a hug. She was in tears though, but I mean,
it's beautiful. Yeah,
yeah. I don't put you on the spot there, Damien. But
yeah,
I sort of answered your question for you.
Yeah, that was really special. Obviously, I think for my mom, especially with this World Cup, I was much more involved than obviously in 2019 when I went to the World Cup after Saracens. I think my mom kind of, you know, saw the full picture. And you know, obviously the sacrifices we said, John, earlier, with not just the alcohol, but, you know, getting your body prepared for a game, ice bath, and, you know, going to bed late, studying.
Drinking your Red Bulls.
Yeah, so...
But Damien's a rugby nerd. Like, he does his recovery, his training properly.
Yeah.
He does,
so I think, obviously, when I got back home, I think my mom, you know, for her seeing me and, you know, seeing the medal, and, you know, what it took, you know, to obviously to get to that result.
Just on what John's talking about, remind me of your guys... high school record that you had, your group of players, how many games did you lose from under 14 to the first team? Did you lose one?
Junior school. Yeah, that was the Squirrels. That was the Squirrels. I think it was 106 games played. Three drawn, one loss.
Yes, but
in the 100 and?
Six games. Yeah.
Because even high school, you didn't go to a traditional rugby school in high school. So.
Here comes old Paul Jim. Here we go.
Sorry, remind him how many Springboks Paul Jim has?
41?
No, Paul Jim. So Squirrels, 106 played, yeah. Three draws, one loss. Loss,
yeah. What age is that, Damon?
That was from under eight.
Under eight to under 13. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And how many of those?
How many tries did you score?
I don't know.
So 180. But of that group, you're obviously without doubt the most successful. But are there other players within there that potentially should have made it that you think, like, you look back now, that group, like, you think there's...
Yeah, there's...
Was there anyone better than you?
Ramon, your brother.
I guess that's enough.
The Undertaker. The Undertaker.
No, I mean, obviously, there's a lot of talented players, but I think Brian and you guys all know as well, what it takes to play pro and to get to this level is the things we spoke about earlier, is, you know, prepping your body and making sure, you know, all those small things. And I think, obviously, that's what separates an amateur player from a professional.
Yeah.
It's not maybe the talent, and Coach Rossi always says it, you know, it's not always
the
about
hard work,
you know, the best player, but it's getting the right people. I think obviously the more you go into playing professional, you know, yeah, it's all about, you know, those small inches.
Who was the loss? Can you remember who the loss was against?
The loss?
The one loss.
I don't remember the loss. I remember that.
It'll be interesting to know which team.
It was against Kyle Moore. It was Herschel Yank.
Guys, European rugby quickly. We have to touch on Champions Cup rugby. First priority for the Stormers. Obviously, Damien, you here. There's a big game. La Rochelle, yeah, the Champions
Cup. No, wait. Leicester Tigers at Welford Road first.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah. You played for...
No, he didn't play.
Leicester Tigers.
No, he played like five.
Look, the football team won the league when you were there, and that's yes, about it. Are you a Munster guy or a Leicester guy? Because I'm struggling.
I'm what? Stormers.
Okay, Stormers.
And Leicester.
Okay,
and
let's talk about Stormers. Brian, are you a Stormer or Bull?
I'm a Lions. I'm a rugby supporter. Rugby's the winner.
But you're the man in Toulon, though.
No.
He teed us up in some of the best restaurants, I must say.
He dropped
us in Toulon.
And then it was closed.
Exactly.
No, that wasn't me. That was your guy.
Okay, quickly. Do you think South Africa should head up to the Six Nations? Is it worthwhile? Is it worth the debate? Do we stay down south, New Zealand, Australia, Argentina, or do we go up north? Because we're playing up north anyway with our club rugby.
Yeah. You know, the thing there is we're giving our opinion in what we think is best for South Africa.
Yeah.
But do they want us there?
I don't think
That's another question you need to ask, you know? So...
Sean, the Twickenham All Black game was a South African game.
Yeah.
Sorry, that's a Springbok.
Yeah, or South African All Black. That's got nothing to do with Northern
Hemisphere. Was a South African game.
No, but what I'm saying...
But the supporters there.
But Six Nations...
Commercially makes
what
sense.
It stands for,
yeah,
the history of it. You know, you need to ask those questions as well. How does it influence the history of the game and all of that? So, look, I think we've got the best of both worlds currently, where we're playing our club rugby in the Northern Hemisphere. We're playing our international rugby basically in the Southern Hemisphere, still in Rugby Championship. So you get the best of both worlds. If we were to move totally to the Northern Hemisphere... we've already seen the logistical challenges with that, and I think we'll lose a big part of what South African rugby is all about, because we play New Zealand so much, because we play Australia and Argentina so much. So from that point of view, moving away, that to me will be risky. But a lot of the decisions gets made on a financial basis and not really on the rugby as such, to be brutally honest.
Can I be controversial? I don't think we should move. I think, unfortunately, the Southern Hemisphere needs to...
I think we need tours back.
No, we don't need tours back. I think the Southern Hemisphere...
But you can agree to disagree. Yeah.
We do
agree
to disagree. Tell me what you really think.
No, so if we really want rugby to become a global game, I think when there is a global calendar coming in 2026, but it's not really a global calendar because we're still starting and stopping at a different time.
Yeah.
So I think if we really want to become a global game, the season needs to start in September. The Rugby Championship needs to move to the Six Nations window.
Feb, March,
yeah,
April.
That's true. That makes sense. Then it's a global calendar.
Then it's a global calendar.
Where does, Super Rugby go then?
Where does Heineken Cup and URC go? It's exactly the same thing, right?
Super Rugby needs to move.
It's all at the same time. Yeah.
So Super Rugby is happening at the minute. I'm joking.
Did you just say that?
No, I'm serious. You know, so I think, honestly, being controversial, if we really want rugby to become
it's not really that controversial. It's a good solution.
Yeah. I would say let's all start, because John talked about the financial impact. The money, as we've seen, is...
No, but what you say, global season solves everything, but global season means everybody starts the same time.
You can sit out of this one. These guys are going to go for it. Everybody finishes at the same time.
Because then even the Japanese guys don't need to take a sabbatical for the New Zealand, right? But then they must go for the whole time. It's not sabbatical. So that would be my controversial. If we really, truly want a global season, everyone needs to then start in September. Because also, John says we have the best of both worlds. These guys aren't getting any rest now.
Yeah.
Because they're literally going from... Champions Cup if they make it to the knockouts, URC if they make it to the knockouts, into a Springbok, you know, season, into rugby championships, and then
back into URC, back into
players are playing up north, right?
Yeah, end of year tour.
End of year tour.
So it is like, and it's not controversial. I think at the end of the day, you know, whoever's watching, we love the game of rugby.
Yeah.
But at this stage, especially from a South African point of view, we are burning our assets.
100%.
Into the ground, especially those playing in South Africa.
Yeah.
You know, and that is the issue for
player
us.
Player welfare is the big thing.
It is, you know.
And mentally, so, can you do this for 4 or 5 years?
And mentally, what you say, so physically, they probably can take it, and then eventually, okay, you get an injury, break down. But the mental aspect of it, you know, the whole Owen Farrell thing now as well, you know, the mental aspect of representing your country, the issues that goes with that, you know, the pressures that goes with that of having to perform, of the abuse you get when you do not perform, or whatever, you know, that is huge. And I think we're at the start of that from a rugby point of view in terms of mental health. But we need to look after these guys because we want the product to be good. And for the product to be good, you need your best players on the field more times than not.
And my other shake-up.
I want to talk about good product. No, Rugby Pass TV, 20 seconds to register. And it's free, by the way.
You've got to swipe up.
Chevy's registered because it's free. My one thing about the global season and something, you know, we talk about attracting new fans on this global territory. Another thing I would change is I would have the Northern Hemisphere tour the Southern Hemisphere in November, and the Southern Hemisphere tour the Northern Hemisphere in July.
Cool.
Summer, I mean, 4 degrees. Summer, right?
Summer rugby. You know, that's
okay.
Having a sevens tournament in Cape Town in December. It's a party atmosphere. Everyone's having a good time. Sunshine, red air. Good rugby, dry ball, lots of tries, big defense.
Shimmy,
I want to finish up the stadium, but the box office is at the Cape Town Sevens. Young Money, Brian Abana, Young Money.
Everybody else's money.
Thanks, Brian. Thank you very
much. Thanks, Shimmy. Amazing.
Good to see you. Damien, I know you've had a long schedule, a heavy schedule. Good to see you out here. Thanks for coming out to join us here on
Thank
the box office.
Me. Thank you.
JDV, partner.
Shimmy, you're a hell of a job again.
Yes, you're so good at what you do, right?
I see. Are you letting your hair grow now? Or what?
One cut, boy.
That is looking good.
Thank you very much.
I think you should let it go for December.
The fro?
Yeah, your hair.
Bring it back.
I think you
I can't grow it anymore. I've got to shave my head.
Yeah, Radiki Sama, you should.
Yeah, please. I'll let you actually stay at my Airbnb more for free if you go Radiki Sama.
If it's Airbnb. No, hold on, Brian. Let's get the facts right, yeah?
Brian did it. Brian did it. Show me
the title deeds. This guy had a nice apartment. Damien, sorry, we're ignoring you at the moment.
No.
And these guys are talking amongst each other. It happens. At our age, you'll do the same. But
amazing. Well done, Shimmy. You're such a professional.
Damien, no, thank you very much. But
thank
I appreciate
you. Thank
being
you for
here.
Having me.
The Legend. First to three, maybe the first to four, actually. We'll be talking about this for long. Hey, maybe first to four.
No, we mentioned it
first on the box office. But Damien, your program now, obviously back in training, back for the Stormers. Yeah. Good to go.
Yeah, back into the swing of things. Next week, we got La Rochelle, obviously rooting for the boys this week, down at Walford Road, hoping they can do their best there and come back with a win. And then we roll into URC with the Bulls, and then the Sharks at home on the 30th. So yeah, it's going to be epic. December, January, sell Sharks coming here. So we've got some epic games coming. Yeah.
Is it true that Sears sent a DM to Ronaldo to come for the Portugal game next year?
He's bringing the trophy. He's taking your spot. He's bringing the trophy.
And a Louis Vuitton bag.
Yeah.
Gucci. For
No, it's Louis Vuitton. It's not Gucci. I know the difference. Thank you very much, guys. Remember, you can catch all the action from Box Office on Rugby Pass TV. Swipe up 20 seconds to join, and it's all free. The Box Office from Cape Town Sevens is now closed.
Merry Christmas, everyone. Have a lovely Christmas, festive season. Way.
Merry Christmas and a good New Year's. We love you all. See you next year for the Box Office.
Cheers.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.